When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
DC! Acknowledge me!
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk! Oh, baby, away we go on a Motown Victory Monday. Yeah, how do you like them apples, huh? Yes, indeed. Matty Ice is here. I'm here. You're there. At 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. We'll get you involved in just a few moments, so hop aboard now. Please. As Jim Rome would say, have a take, don't suck. I don't use the word take. Have a spin. Have an opinion. Don't suck. Let's go. We'll get you in. We'll get you out. And away we go. The Commanders are 9-5. Best 14-game start since 2002. First winning season since 2016. 8-7-1. Remember, that was the year they choked against the Giants. We'll talk to Jay Gruden about all that. Because he was the head coach in that final game where they could have made the playoffs, could have had a nine six and one season, and well, you know, it did not go well. But yesterday, as poorly as it went, and it went poorly, they won, and a win is a win is a win is a win is a win, and there are going to be listen. I have a responsibility to tell you the truth as I see it, to be as honest as I see it. I am not going to sit here with pom-poms. It was not a well-played game. It was not in almost every way. It was as sloppy as you can get. They look like, at times, they were still on vacation. But somehow, and it's probably because the Saints were so compromised. Somehow, they did just enough to win. And listen, I would much rather have this conversation and this week of radio and the breakdown and the analysis of what went right and what went wrong and what they can do better off of a one-point win than a one-point loss. I think everybody would understand that and agree with that, right? You'd much rather have constructive criticism after you achieve something than after you blow something. And there is no doubt they almost blew it. They almost blew it. So they win, do the Commanders, 20-19. Again, they're 9-5. They have the Philadelphia Eagles, who have won 10 in a row, coming in to Northwest Stadium this Sunday. You can pretty much forget. Right, you should have forgotten already about the NFC East title. Honestly. They're not playing for that. There was once a time where the Philadelphia Eagles were 2-2. They're now 12-2. Washington is 9-5. I mean, theoretically, if Washington beats Philadelphia this week and Philly loses their final two games and Washington wins their final two games over Atlanta and over Dallas, and again, Philadelphia loses two more after Washington, and the conference tiebreaker works out because the head-to-head would be 1-1. The division presumably would be even, although it's not right now. Philly is 3-0 in the division. Washington is 2-2. Listen, they could theoretically tie and, I guess, win a tiebreaker and all that. I will let some other math maniac deal with that. So there is still a mathematical chance. There is still a mathematical chance to win the division. And obviously, again, it starts this Sunday. That being said, that should not be what anybody's thinking. What anybody should be thinking is, hey, man, how do we beat the Philadelphia Eagles and then win at least one of the next two? Home against Atlanta, and maybe we find out today whether that game's been flexed to Sunday night, Saturday night, we don't know. But I think today is the day with all the stupid NFL rules. Speaking of stupid and NFL all in one sentence, oh my. But anyway, we'll get to that in a sec. That's all you should be thinking about. You shouldn't be thinking about winning divisions and really even seedings and all that stuff. Beat Philadelphia. Give yourself a chance. And then we'll talk. Don't beat Philadelphia and they clinch the division at Northwest Stadium. Now, listen, that has happened, obviously, before. Teams have come in here and clinched playoff spots and division titles and all that stuff and seedings. And it's been met with, you know, a feeling of complete despair and, oh, thank God it's over and, boy, can't wait for the offseason. That's not what we're dealing with here, even if they lose this Sunday. And even after a win that, you know, arguably they shouldn't have won. So, again, keep everything in perspective. There is good that came out of yesterday. They won. There is good that came out of yesterday. It's their best 14-game start since 2000. Since 2000-something. I got to look it back up again. All these dates and all these years are mixing in my mind. I think the number I was thinking about was the Saints had the lowest yardage total, net yardage total in the first half, in a half for the first time since 2002 when my guy Jim Haslett was their head coach, and Aaron Brooks was the quarterback. That's what I was thinking. I think it's even long. Maybe it's like 2006 or something. I don't remember. For the Commanders or the Washington NFL franchise, best 14-game start. I did this last night with Craig on the Take Command podcast. If you missed the live version, you can go check it out now, available wherever podcasts are. Of course, on the Odyssey app, on YouTube, on the Team 980 YouTube, all of that. I was with Craig for about 35 minutes or so. I was on the Junkies this morning, was just on with JP and B. Mitch. I've been busy. So my head is a little, you know, scrambled eggs. But the bottom line is the Commanders are 9-5. And the bottom line is, even though it was ugly, they won. And they did enough right that as much as you could possibly justify this in your mind, as close as the Saints came, they did enough right to fend off, hold off the Saints and Sean Hockley's incompetent officiating crew. They did enough right to do that. They didn't do a lot right. They did enough right. And listen, I'm 51 years old, okay? I can't tell you 10 years ago or certainly 15 or 20 years ago, that I would have the same approach that I have now. I'm a lot smarter. I'm a lot more mature. I'm a lot more emotionally grounded. I'm a lot more aware of, you know, that, like, you got to enjoy life a little bit and how precious life is. And I found some of that out on the way here. So maybe I wouldn't have the same approach 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20, whatever. But I do now. Like, it was an ugly win. It was far from impressive. If this is what they call tell the truth Monday, I'm going to tell the truth as I see it. It was a mostly lousy performance. And they got away with it because they were taking on a team that, while tough and feisty, which we told you all last week that they would be, the bottom line is they were missing not only their two top receivers and their top switchblade weapon and their starting quarterback and their number one corner because he was with us. But then Alvin Kamara goes out in the middle of the third quarter and doesn't play again. Bless you, Maddie. So they got away with it. Is it a good win? That's for you to determine. For me, like any win is better than not winning. I can't call it a good win. I would describe good wins along this line. Cincinnati, Monday Night Football, Week 3. Giants, MetLife Stadium, before the losing streak. That's what I would describe a good win. This is a win. And if you live by the adage or the philosophy of any win is a good win, well, then that's for you. I have levels. This is a win. And a win is a win is a win is a win, and that's ultimately the number one thing that matters. But I can't sit here and lie to you and tell you that that's a good win. And you know the difference. And no, nobody is going to blow teams out like they have several times this year. Carolina, Tennessee, Arizona. Nobody's going to tell you that that's how you have to win every week. It's impossible. But just like we felt the week two win against the Giants with 7 field goals was a win, but not a good win or a impressive win or a win that made you feel comfortable or confident, that's what this win was, by even a thinner margin than that. And that's okay, too. You play 17 of these, you're going to have a lemon every once in a while. You're going to have a bad day at the office where you do a lot wrong and you somehow survive. You know, think about it. All of us go to, many of us go to work every day, right? Whether in the public sector or the private sector, federal government, schools, radio, business, insurance, whatever. We all bleep up. We all make mistakes. Lord knows I make mistakes all day long. Every day. Some of them you hear. Some of them you catch. Some of them you don't. But I make mistakes literally all day long. From morning until night. And some I get away with. And some I don't. And it sits on my mind, how come I can't be more perfect? How come I can't be better? And I try every day to be better. I don't try every day to be perfect. I try every day to be better. And again, some days I'm better than others. And that's kind of where I'm at with the Commanders. Yesterday was not an impressive performance. Yesterday was not an impressive win. It was not a quote-unquote good win or a very good win or a great win, whatever label you want to put on it. It was a win. And that's all that ultimately matters. But if it's Tell the Truth Monday, the truth is they were beyond fortunate to win that game. When you consider two things, they were playing a feisty, plucky New Orleans Saints squad. Again, we told you all week not to expect a blowout, that it would be a tight win. I thought they would win, but I had the Saints to cover the 8, and I picked the official final score was 24-17 that I picked. Okay, I was wrong on that, but you get the point, right? I thought they would win, but I thought the Saints would cover, but I thought maybe it would be a little bit, and maybe it would have been. They were taking on the New Orleans Saints, and they were taking on Sean Hockley's incompetent, idiotic, and mind-numbing crew, and the NFL all at the same time. They weren't just taking on one opponent. They were taking on multiple opponents. Now, if you say, well, Chris, they didn't have Derek Carr, and they didn't have Shakir, and they didn't have Chris Olave, and they didn't have Taysom Hill, and they didn't have Marcus Lattimore, and they lost Alvin Kamara midway through. Granted, all of that. So Sean Hockley's crew basically filled in for those guys. And then the NFL put the icing on the cake. Because the NFL is the dumbest sports league in all the land. I tell you that all the time. Nobody believes me. Nobody wants to hear it. They are a bunch of incompetent idiots. And somehow they have hoodwinked and suckered this country into making $17 billion a year. Just because you know how to make money does not mean you are smart, does not mean you're well-run, does not mean you use common sense. And I see it every game, every day, in every way, and I constantly point it out. Nobody gives a flying you-know-what. Not from the league office, not from a media perspective, not from a you perspective. You're all nuts. You're all missing the boat. Every last damn one of you. It's like you arrive at the train station for a 7:35 train at 7:35 and 30 seconds, and the train is already left the platform. And you're like, oh, okay, what do I do now? That's kind of your reaction to the idiocy that infiltrates the National Football League. It is an absolute horror show. And it almost, along with their own struggles, and make no mistake, that's number one. It almost caught up to the Commanders yesterday. It almost cost them a win. It didn't, but it almost did. And could you imagine what the reaction would be right now, today, this moment, if they would have won that game on the two-point conversion? And we all knew what we didn't necessarily realize in the moment, but found out quickly after, which was that the clock, the game clock, was stopped for about 4 seconds. And New Orleans had to line up, spike the ball, and then run another play, which they scored a touchdown on, and then miss on the two-point conversion in order for Washington to win. But could you imagine what the reaction would be if the Commanders were 8-6, had played like they did, which was pretty sloppy across the board, offense, defense, and special teams, and coached in, let's just say, controversial fashion, yet they lost. And they lost because of the utter incompetence of a bunch of clowns, a bunch of boobs, a bunch of village idiots. And that's Sean Hockley's crew, NFL officiating in general, and the National Football League as an extension. All of you suck. All of you are incompetent. You make no sense at all. And common sense is not a popular refrain. Common sense, you don't even know what it is. You wouldn't know what common sense was if a Patrick Mahomes fastball hits you right between the eyes. You're that incompetent. You're that dumb. You're that out of touch with reality and common sense. Period. All right, that's my opening thoughts. We'll get more into the nitty-gritty as we go along on a Victory Motown Monday. It is, again, a Victory Monday. Whether you like it, don't like it, they won. That's ultimately all that matters. Jay Gruden expected to join us at 3 o'clock. You can join us next at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. Ah, good way to start off a Victory Motown Monday with the Temptations. Ain't Too Proud to Beg. Yeah, man. I was watching the NBC Today Never Ending Good Morning Show, whatever the hell they call it. And they had the Temptations doing My Girl. I mean, a little bit different sounding than the studio version, but, you know, so good. So good. And I thought, hey, you know, that's a good way to start your Monday. It's a good way to start a victory Monday. All right, here we go. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. So whether you want to call it a good win or not, that's up to you. Everybody processes things a little bit differently. It's a win, and that's the most important thing. That being said, there's so much to improve on. In addition to not allowing the game to be put in the hands of utter incompetence, whether you want to look at the clock error at the end of the game, the clock error at the end of the third quarter, which ultimately helped the Commanders in a way, but it really shouldn't have. Whether you look at all the penalties, all the sacks, the perplexing decision by DQ and Larry Izzo to kick a 54-yarder. I understand what they were trying to do. I didn't agree with what they were trying to do. When you look at all of that, when you look at how many times Jaden Daniels had to scramble, I thought sometimes too quickly, too early, which has been an issue for him. Fine. I would too. When I have heat-seeking missiles coming directly at me, I'd probably try and move and bend and try and figure it out. Or I could be Jake Haner, who literally at times curled up into a ball and fell down on his own. I mean, I have never seen a more atrocious display of quarterbacking than I saw in the first half yesterday from Jake Haner. Not only was he terrible as a passer, not only did they have like 36 yards or whatever it was, did you see, like, the sack that Daron Payne had on the first drive? Like, he hardly even touched him. Jake Haner literally folded up into a ball, and it wasn't the only time. I think, like, two or three times, he folded up into a ball sucking his thumb in diapers.
He represents the common person, the layman. When you say, oh, I could make that pass, Jake Haner is what would happen if you went actually to the line.
It's not a bad point. Not a bad point. I could do that. Even I could hit an 85-mile-an-hour fastball.
No, you'd curl up in a ball and start crying.
Yeah. I could make that pass. You gotta pull the string to Terry. Listen, again, there was a lot to like. There was some things you like, and there was a lot not to like. I got it. We'll go through it, and we'll do it throughout the week, because that's what we do, right? We don't just, well, some of us don't just say, oh, well, they won, and that's all that matters, and that's the only thing that matters, and we're done here. That's not the way it works. Not when you have as much time to entertain, I'll say, as we do, right? There's lots to talk about, and lots to clean up here, and lots to fix. But ultimately, you'd rather do that off a win, as tight as it was, than a loss. Now, that being said, look, I know some of you might be like, oh, we're going to have to deal with this negativity all week. First of all, relax. If you can't handle it, go ahead, attach your surgically attached pom-poms just a little bit tighter and go listen to some other radio show, because this ain't the one for you. You want Tell the Truth Monday? You want to know what they're talking about in the building today? They're kicking themselves in the nuts, in the onions, in the forehead, in the ass, everywhere, because they know. They know what you should know, that they were fortunate. Yes, officiating certainly did not help. Nobody is denying that. And maybe if they would have hit one of three big plays to Terry, and if the officiating wasn't so utterly absurdly incompetent, maybe we're talking about a 10-point win, a 13-point win, a 7-point win, whatever. And maybe everybody's not as fired up. Maybe. But that's not the way it worked out. Ultimately, it worked out the way it did. And again, they were on the right side of happenstance once. and they got away with it. That's what the win feels like. Not a good win, not a very good win, not a convincing win, not a great win, but it feels like a got away with it win. That's what it feels like. And I think if you have to summarize the win, that's maybe the best way to describe it. It's a got away with it win. And that's okay, too. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I see Lou, I see others. Line up. Maddie will get you screened in. We'll get to you on the other side quickly. We'll work, obviously, our analysis and commentary throughout the game. Things we liked, didn't like. Things that happened, didn't happen. Things that jumped out to us. And if you think about, before we get to the trending alert, I'll leave you with like this one thing. I mentioned this a couple of times. I mentioned it on the Junkies this morning here on Team 980 and 106.7. I mentioned it with B. Mitch and Finley before I came over here. And I mentioned it, I think, with Craig, maybe on the Take a Man podcast, but I can't remember. Think about this. They had a field goal made by Greg Joseph on the first drive of the game that was taken off the board because of a Saints penalty. That was hard to spot and often does not get called. If that field goal stands and they don't call it, which with that idiocy of that crew, it very easily could have been missed. If that isn't called and they get 3 points instead of ultimately the 7 that they got, they might lose the game. They might lose the game. Because what happened was New Orleans was indeed called. And then the Commanders scored a touchdown by Olamide Zaccheaus, but his illegal shift wiped that out, and then they still scored a touchdown. All right, big NFL news is coming straight ahead in the trending alert that is just crossing the wire right here and right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, the Detroit Lions are just all sorts of banged up, and it's only getting worse. Star running back David Montgomery is now out indefinitely after suffering a sprained MCL in yesterday's 48-42 loss to the Bills, according to Adam Schefter. In addition, they have already and now lost Aleem McNeil, one of their best defensive linemen, and certainly with the absence of Aiden Hutchinson, Aleem McNeil looks like he is gone for the season. They lost another player, Carlton Davis, as well. He suffered a fractured jaw in yesterday's loss. He'll undergo surgery and be sidelined indefinitely. Again, McNeil out for the year with a torn ACL, Montgomery out indefinitely. The Detroit Lions, who are still the one seed, a very, very, very iffy and precarious one seed at this point. The 49ers are reportedly going to suspend Devondre Campbell for 3 games for refusing to enter the game last Thursday night, a loss at home to the Los Angeles Rams. Dan Quinn will speak at 3:30 here on what they call Tell the Truth Monday. We will see what happens with that. And the Capitals are back in action tonight. And they are back on the road, which should mean a win, right? They won 10 in a row on the road. Tough customer tonight in Big D in Dallas. 8 o'clock face-off over on 106.7 The Fan. We will join one of the two Monday night games, Chicago and Minnesota, in progress right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. And that's what's trending. Oh, win was signed, sealed, and delivered by the thinnest of margins yesterday. I mean, literally, you can't get any thinner. But always good to hear a little Stevie Wonder. On a Motown Monday, a victory Motown Monday, the best, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. We'll get out to your calls in a sec. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. You just heard during the trending alert. The Detroit Lions have lost their best remaining defensive lineman, Aleem McNeil, after losing Aiden Hutchinson earlier. Done for the year, torn ACL, probably going to miss part of next year. And David Montgomery to a sprained MCL out indefinitely. That's usually a 3 to 6 week frame. And one of their starting cornerbacks, Carlton Davis. The Philadelphia Eagles are very likely going to be the one seed when this is all settled out and hashed out. Now, the Commanders can do something to stall that, prevent that maybe, by, you know, I don't know, beating the Eagles this Sunday. Not an impossible task. We'll get more, obviously, into the game as we go along this week, or this upcoming week, I should say, and from yesterday. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Listen, amongst the good things, obviously Terry McLaurin, 10 and 11 touchdowns. The route he ran on the first touchdown, if you haven't seen the next gen stats, like digital diagram of it, just absurd. I mean, watching the game live and on I was like, wait, did he run a square out basically to the sideline and then run a full field diagonal? Nah, not full field, about a two-thirds full diagonal to outrace and get open and to find room for Jaden Daniels, who slipped and fell and got himself up and threw a seed in a tight window. Like, there are good things that happened yesterday. That, Terry had another one. Now, they missed each other, whoever it is to blame, and we can discuss, three times in the second half. If they hit one of them, we all feel a little bit better. And we're all talking about, oh my God, Terry McLaurin, a dozen touchdowns, and him making an all-pro team. But they missed. But they hit on two earlier. So it's hard to say, oh, well, damn, they were... Yeah, that was just, you know, of course it's a little disappointing. You would have loved to have seen that. But it didn't happen. It was close, but no cigar. But that doesn't take away from the effort, the hustle by Terry on both touchdowns. And especially the first one when Jaden slips and falls. And he slipped a couple of times, once in the first half on the touchdown and once in the second half on a sack. So I don't know what was going on there with his cleats, shoes, turf, whatever. I don't know. But the bottom line is, it happened. But for him to make that throw after slipping and kind of sort of going to the ground, and for Terry to run the route that he ran on the first one, and the second one was pretty damn good too, but the first one was utterly absurd. About as absurd in a positive way as Sean Hockley's crew was in a negative way. 301-230-0980. Let's get to you on the phones and get you aboard. We'll get to Bird and Ashburn in a sec, but first, Lou is with us in the leadoff spot. Lou, how are you?
What's going on, Chris?
Hey, Lou, did you see what happened to your favorite guy yesterday?
Well, are you going to start with Benjamin, man? Leave that man alone. I told you what's up with that dude. I wasn't lying to you.
He made a mistake, man.
What did I say, though? Everything I said about Benjamin is what he is. Like, he's a mediocre cornerback. He doesn't trust himself. He just put the team in a bad situation, so which is he should be benched. And that's exactly what happened.
I think he's better than mediocre, but to your point, he's... He's above average if he's that.
Chris, I'm not here trying to argue about how I feel about the dude. So, moving on, Detroit Lions. I'm going to need that coach to be drug tested, because if they do that to the players, I think he need to be drug tested. You can't do that, Chris. You down 10 and kicking onside kick.
Dan Campbell's a maniac. He is a certifiable maniac. And anybody that supports that philosophy and that program is, you know, is basically the human being equivalent to somebody who's driving 95 on 95 and zip-zagging all over the place and cutting people off. You're a maniac if you support and think that Campbell is right. And yesterday was just the most glaring example. But I'm telling you, man, it is you know, it is more and more what we're going to have to deal with. And even DQ yesterday, fourth and one from his own 45. Yeah. Now, there's a difference between your own 45 and kicking an onside kick with 12 minutes left to go in the game, or fourth and one from your own 15 and running a trick play or going for it and getting stuffed. There are nuances and context and layers and all that. Not every decision is the same. As a matter of fact, every decision is independent of each other. In to some degree, and different than pretty much each other. But to the overall point, I will tell you this. If Dan Campbell was the head coach of the Washington Commanders, he would drive me to drink.
Yeah, he's a little bit loose up there, man. But, yeah, it's some questionable things our coach did. You know, I didn't like the second half. I mean, we started off good. You know, 17, you know, that's good. I mean, and then the defense, I mean, 17, nothing at halftime.
Yeah.
But second half, you know, Dan got to do better. We got to execute. When we, you know, like, we kind of, like, take the foot, like, off the brake. Like, we can't do that. And that's just not.
Well, again, you know, if they would have hit one of those three deep shots to Terry, then we would feel completely differently. So I disagree that they got ultra conservative. And as a matter of fact, there was one long drive where they only ran it like twice, and for good reason. They got stuffed both, once by Ridgeway and once I can't remember who. And yet, like King, I disagree. Kingsbury and Quinn or whatever, they were not conservative in the second half. They didn't execute well.
I know.
Lou, did you watch the game? Did you not listen to what I just said? They missed on by a hair on three long bombs.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you know, this is a second half once again. You know, I'm not. You know,
I agree
not
with you, but that's a different argument than they got conservative.
We can't have that. Like,
okay,
but it's
you can feel however you can feel however you want, Lou. I will tell you this: you're right to be frustrated by what happened in the second half. You're wrong. I gotta let you go. You're wrong because if you're gonna say they were conservative in the second half, I disagree with that. I disagree with that. All right, 145, Team 980. You want me to take the time out, right? And then we'll get back to more calls. We'll kind of stay on a better schedule here. Hang tight. We'll get to Alex. We'll get to Bird. We'll get to Alex. We'll get to you. 301-230-0980 on a Victory Motown Monday. Stay with us. Oh, we'll let this roll out. Can never have enough Jackson 5. It's what they call hitting the post, boys and girls. All right, good to have you with us. 10 in front of 2 on a Victory Motown Monday. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Listen, just about Lou's phone call. Listen, I didn't hang up on him because I disagreed with him. And, like, I tried to say, hey, look, you have every right to be frustrated by what you saw in the second half. Offensively, defensively, special teams, refereeing, Dan Quinn, all of that. You have every right. What I disagreed with was the notion that they were conservative. They were not conservative at all in the second half, in my eyes. Maybe I'm missing something, but again, I keep going back to they ran the ball twice. I think it was three times. On a drive that they took over up 20-13, up 20-13 after the groupie 51-yard field goal. They came out pass, one of those, the second down deep shot to Terry, pass, third down. Then Jaden kind of went, scooted around behind Sam Cosmi for the 1 yard on fourth and one from the 45, which was a gutsy call in that spot because, again, the game is kind of somewhat slipping away. You're at your own 45, and he went for it. And normally I don't love that, but the 45 I can somewhat live with if you feel like the game is slipping away and you have Jaden Daniels. But that was a run. I don't know if it was called a run and Jaden just, or a pass, and Jaden just did what Jaden thought. I don't know. But then pass, another deep shot to McLaurin, right? Run for seven, pass, run. So that is three runs. That was a negative 2 yard loss. Pass, and then a final run, negative three. Again, so they ran the ball four times, actually. Again, maybe all four weren't called. Three were definite calls, I think. And two negatives, plus an offensive holding that negated a beautiful pass from Jaden Daniels on second and 13 to De'Ami Brown to the New Orleans 10. Again, if that play holds up, maybe they score. I don't know. The point of the matter is, then Dan Quinn made a very controversial decision after making earlier on the drive a controversial decision, fourth and one from your own 45, 20, up 20 to 13, and that's probably not getting enough play. And if I'm going to criticize Dan Quinn for what he did in this spot, fourth and 16 from the New Orleans 36, up 20 to 13, and he tries a 54-yard field goal indoors with a very unreliable kicker. If I'm going to criticize him for that, I've also got to acknowledge, even though I don't love it, fourth and whatever on my side of the field, he did go for it on fourth and one from the Washington 45 earlier on that drive with an extra offensive lineman and Trent Scott. And again, I don't know what was called, but I know what was run. And Jaden barely got it. And I think that was... That was earlier where Jaden went over the pile and fumbled, and he was on the back of somebody, and they said, he was down and whatever. But again, like, there were some interesting decisions made. Not all of them good, not all of them bad. But in hindsight, we can sit here as adults and say, well, I like that one, didn't like that one, here's why I liked it, here's why I didn't like it, and we all move along, and you hope that the right decisions are made as many times as possible. I don't know if this was Dan Quinn's best day, but what I do also know is perhaps without Dan Quinn going ape, you know what, at the end of the third quarter, and maybe that's a harsh description, he was adamant. Without that, perhaps the dopey officiating allows a missed field goal to stand and to count. Now, maybe they would have figured it out during the break or at the top of the quarter. I don't know. Without Dan Quinn, but Dan Quinn obviously was adamant, hey, you guys screwed up. Now, I'm sure he wouldn't have said anything if he would have made it. And Joseph ultimately did make it on the other side to start the quarter. But, man, what a crazy, crazy-ass game. 301-230-0980. Let's get to Bird and Ashburn here before the top of the hour. What up, Bird? How are you?
What up, Rooster? How you doing,
What's shaking, Bird?
So I give Dan Quinn a pass because, like you said, the whole game was chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
But how crucial was not having Biotish in the game? I mean, we didn't establish the run at all.
It's killer.
Everything was either a broken play, a gimmick, like that 20-yard run by Robinson, and the scrambles with Jaden.
Well, and think about it. Well, just to your point, right? Jaden had a third and 13 for 23, right? If they didn't have, and that's not a called run. That's not a run by design. There were all sorts of things, right? Like, I mean, of course, every read option, is one of those things where you can kind of interpret it as a call, not call, decision, what have you. I mean, you're right. The game was insane, really, from the start. It was dysfunctional and it was not flowing right. I don't know if Cliff, I'll be curious to find out. Cliff's not available after a game. I'll be curious to find out this Thursday if one of the reporters say, hey, man, did you have to rip up part of your game plan because Biotis wasn't there?
Personally, like you said, benefit of the doubt, and we can't speak on it because we're not Cliff. But as a fan and as someone who has been following them all year with this game plan, I truly, in my heart of hearts, truly feel like it was one of those things where it wrecked everything because it was a last-minute scratch. He is pretty much the quarterback – you know, in front of the quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As far as calling the coverages.
Oh, yeah. And he was coming running, off his best game. He was coming off his terrible. Best game of the year, too, against Tennessee. Yep. He was great against Tennessee.
As soon as I heard that, I was
really nervous. Now, especially against that defensive line, and I don't think people are giving enough credit to the Saints defensive line.
They're top five against the run.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Bird. Bird. Bird is the word. Appreciate that. 157, Team 980. We'll get to Alex. We'll get to you at 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. And we're always live and free on the Odyssey app.